Okay, so today we will begin with the beginning of davening. We'll start with Moedani. We say the prayer we say immediately as we wake up in the morning. The first place we find this tefillah of Moedani is in a sefer called Seder Hayom. Very early sefer, and there he says that the wording of this tefillah was specifically designated without any of Hashem's names in it, so that one can say this even before they wash their hands. So even before we wash Negelwasser in the morning, we are allowed to, we say this tefillah of Moedani. So let's just go through the simple understanding of Moedani, this tefillah of Moedani, before we go into depth. So the words that we say is Moedani lefanecha melech chai v'kayom, she'erazarta b'nishmasi v'chemlo, rabba emunasecha. Now the way these words are interpreted simply is, I thank before you the living and eternal King that you have returned my soul to me, that you have returned my soul in me with compassion. Abundant is your faithfulness. Rabba munatzach, abundant is your faithfulness. So apparently it's a tefillah of gratitude to Hashem for returning our neshama to us. However, there are if we would look into this tefillah a little deeper, we will find that there are many difficulties, and every tefillah that we say, we need to know, has been established and has been composed with Ruach HaKodesh. It was composed with divine inspiration. So that every word has to be understood why specifically those words are chosen. So let me just point out some difficulties in these few words. Moedani, right? We start out with the words, thankful am I. Why don't we say ani moide? Why don't we say I thank? Right? If you that's why the art scroll says it. I thank you. Right? So it should say, it seems that the right appropriate wording would be ani moide lefanecha. I thank before you. Why is it moide ani lefanecha? Thankful or thanking am I before you. Why the word lefanecha? Why not moedani lecha? I think to you. Right? We say that by moedim. Shemoneh Esrei say moedim anachnu lach. Right? We think to you. We don't say moedim anachnu lefanecha. So why by moedani do we say moedani lefanecha? I think before you. Melech. Melech Chai V'Kayim, the living and eternal King. Why do we use the word Melech? Why don't we start out the day calling Hashem our Father? Moide Ani Lefanecha Avinu Chai V'Kayim. Why Melech? Why are we starting the day with our King? Chai V'Kayim, living and eternal. Why all of a sudden, why do we need those words all together? Moide Ani Lefanecha Melech. Shechazarta Minishmasi. Or Malkeinu, why Chai V'Kayim? Why are we bringing in the concept that Hashem is living and eternal? Why did that come into this first prayer of the day? She'erazarta bi nishmasi, that you have returned in me my neshama. It seems that it would have been better had it said she'erazarta li nishmasi, you returned to me my neshama. Why shechzarta bi nishmasi? Why you have returned in me, my neshama? And finally, Rabba Amunasacha, abundant is your faithfulness. What does that mean? So, we are going to learn this in a bit more depth so we get some understanding of why these specific words were chosen. I'd like to suggest that the reason why we don't say Ani Moida, why don't we say Ani Moida, right? We should say what we say Moida Ani instead of Ani Moida, is because we're not supposed to start the day with Ani. We're not supposed to start the day with I. And that's why if you are using the English, I strongly suggest that you don't use the English for the first tefillah of the day. Don't start, I gratefully thank you. Chazal, or whoever established this tefillah with Ruach HaKodesh, did not establish to say Ani Moida, rather Moida Ani.
But isn't it that typical Hebrew?
Right, but Hebrew is a Lashon Kodesh for a reason. It's a lashon kodesh, and because I mean, here it could have easily said ani moida, that would have been perfect Hebrew. We find the term anachnu moidim loch all the time, right? We say by benching, hakol Hashem lekinu anachnu moidim loch. We thank you, right? We could have said ani moida loch. So moida, perhaps the reason why we don't say ani moida is not to start the day with the word ani. We don't start the day with the word I. Now, why don't we want to start the day with the word I? Is because Ani, the I, is the source, the root of all bad midas. The gaiva, arrogance, is the root of every bad mida, practically the root of every avira. Right? The only reason why we desire is because we need to fulfill the I need and I want. So the root of all evil is the I. There's an interesting Chiddush HaRim. Chiddush HaRim says that through the 10 makas that took place in Mitzrayim, through the 10 plagues, the Asara Mamorois became Asaras Adibris. That's what he says. Those are the words of the Chiddush HaRim. That through the Eser Makois, the Asara Mamorois became the Asaras Adibris. Meaning, just translate what he says, through the 10 plagues, the 10 utterances through which the world were created became the 10 commandments. What does that mean? So, perhaps what the Chiddush HaRim was saying is that all the nisyonos, all the tests that a person has throughout one's life, really boils down to what is my priority? Is it Hashem or is it I? Right now, I have to choose between to do this or that. This is what Hashem wants, this is what I want. And Hashem wants us to choose what Hashem wants and to put the I aside. And that is why the Ten Commandments begin with the words Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. The only Anoichi that should exist, the only I that should exist, is the Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. I am Hashem, your God. That is the only I that should exist. Any other I, any other Ani, any other Anoichi should not play any role in a person's life. The only Ani or Anoichi that plays a role in a person's life should be the Ani Hashem or the Anoichi Hashem Alekecha. So the introduction to Kabbalah Satorah is Anoichi Hashem Alekecha. I am Hashem, your God. That's the only Anoichi that should exist. And so now, when a person approaches the entire Torah, and it boils down to, is it Ani or the Ani Hashem? We have to look to the way that the whole Torah began, which was Anoichi Hashem Alekecha. That's the only Anoichi. The Klipa of Mitzrayim, the Klipa of Paroi, the Tumah of Mitzrayim, all stemmed from an overemphasizing the Ani, the Anoichi, to the point that Paroi was able to say, Liya Oiri Va'ani Asisani. Right? Paroi said, the Nile is mine, and I have created myself. Paroi had reached that level of Ani, of Anoichi, that there was nothing else existed besides himself. To the point that he could say, "Mi Hashem Asher Eshma B'Kayla," right? Who is Hashem that I should listen to him? Right? That was Paroi's Ani was overemphasized, and that caused the whole Tumah of Mitzrayim. The whole Tumah of Mitzrayim was about fulfilling one's desires. And the way that Hashem brought down Mitzrayim was by showing Mitzrayim the 10 makas, showing Mitzrayim the 10 plagues, where it became evident, it became apparent to everyone that the only Ani that exists is the Ani Hashem, and no other Ani exists. Hashem shattered any other type of Ani, any other type of Anoichi, and everyone realized that Ani Hashem. When Hashem uttered the 10 utterances, right, the Mishnah says, "Basara mamoros nivra ha'olam." With 10 utterances, the world was created. The Svarim tell us that the word "olam," which means we interpret as world, comes from the word "helam." It comes from the word "concealed." "Helam" means concealed, because the world conceals Hashem's presence. So the 10 utterances created a situation of Hashem's concealment. Hashem, the Ani Hashem is concealed in the world. It was through the 10 makas, it was through the 10 plagues that the Ani Hashem was revealed, and now the 10 utterances became the 10 commandments. Because now, through the 10 makas, the Anoichi Hashem Alekecha of the 10 commandments was revealed. And this is what Hashem says to Moshe. Boyal Paroi, come to Paroi. Ki ani hichbalati esli, but you know what is hardening his heart? It's the Ani that is hardening his heart. It's because he's so full of himself. And the reason I'm doing this all, says Hashem, is the matasape bosnei bincho ben binchos asher salalti b'mitzrayim, because I want you to tell your children and your children's children everything that I've did in Mitzrayim. V'yadu, and they should know ki ani Hashem. What I want them to know is that ani Hashem. That is the purpose of creation. To take a world where the ani Hashem is concealed, and to bring that out, to reveal the ani Hashem. And the only way to reveal the Ani Hashem is to forfeit the Ani, is to forfeit the I. As long as one is full of themselves, is full of the Ani, there's no way they can see the Ani Hashem. With this, we can understand there's a pasuk in Parshas Bashalach. The pasuk says, right after the Kriyas Yamsuf, Layam Hashem said, "Im shemay atishma lekoy Hashem lekecha." If you will listen to the voice of Hashem your God, vayoshavein of Tasa, you will do what is straight in His eyes. Vahazanto the mitzvoyso, you will listen to His mitzvahs v'shamarta kol chukav, and you will observe all of His decrees. All sicknesses that I placed upon the Egyptians, I will not place upon you. Because I am Hashem that heals you. Perhaps what the pasuk is telling us is that since the entire purpose of the ten makas, which was the machla shasamti b'mitzrayim, the sickness that Hashem placed in Mitzrayim, were the ten plagues. The whole purpose of the ten plagues were to reveal to a nation that was so involved in themselves, to show them that Ani Hashem. So the Torah tells us, Hashem says like this, listen, if you listen to my mitzvahs and you realize the Ani Hashem, you don't get involved in yourselves, you don't become self-absorbed, then you won't have to come on to the Machla Shasamti B'Mitzrayim. You won't have to come on to the Makas that I placed in Mitzrayim. Why? Ki Ani Hashem Raifecha. Because Ani Hashem has already cured you. If you have the Ani Hashem to cure you, that realization of Ani Hashem, then you don't need me to bring the Makas to bring the Ani Hashem to your attention. Ki Ani Hashem Raifecha. Ani Hashem is your cure. The Bnei Yisrael says that if you take the letters that surround Hashem's name, Hashem's name is Yud Kei Vav Kei, right? If you take the letters that surround Hashem's name, meaning before the Yud in the Aleph Beis, before the Yud comes a Tes, right? Before the He comes a Dalet, before the Vav comes a He, and before the second He comes another Dalet. So you have Tes, Dalet, Hey, Dalet. And then you take the letters above Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is Kaf, Vav, Zayin, Vav. Those would be the letters that are above Yud Kei Vav Kei. So you take the gematria, you take the numerical value of all those letters, it will come out to 61, which is the numerical value of Ani. Ani is Aleph is 1, Nun is 50, and Yud is 10. Right, so that's comes out to 61. And the Bnei Yisrael said what that represents is because the letters that surround Hashem's name represent that conceals Hashem. Right, the letters that surround it conceal Hashem, and that is represented by the word Ani, because the Ani, the only way a person becomes self-aware, self-absorbed, is only when Hashem is concealed. But the avodah of a yid, our purpose in this world is to realize that Ani Hashem, that it's not just Ani, it's not me, it's Ani Hashem. And he says the Bnei Yisrael, this is the crown. Chazal tell us that when Mashiach comes, Hashem is going to give His crown to the Melech HaMashiach. What is Hashem's crown? So the Chazal bring a pasuk. It says in the pasuk, "Toshes the roish ayateres paz." It says Hashem will give Mashiach a crown of paz. Paz means fine gold. And we find that Hashem's crown is also called ateres paz. So Chazal derived from there that Hashem is going to give His crown to Mashiach. What does this all mean? So the Bnei Yisrael says that paz is the gematria of the word paz. The numerical value of the word paz is 87, which is the numerical value of Ani Hashem. Ani is 61 and Hashem is 26. By 61 to 26 is 87, which is paz. Paz is 87. Hashem's crown is Ani Hashem. That's Hashem's crown. I am Hashem. That's when a person realizes that is bringing is, it's unveiling the Ribbono Shel Olam. In a world that is totally, where Hashem's presence is totally concealed, when a person unveils the Ribbono Shel Olam, a person sees the Ani Hashem, that is Hashem's crown. When Mashiach comes, that will be evident to the entire world. That is what Chazal mean, that Hashem will give His crown, the crown of Paz, the crown of Ani Hashem, He will give that to Mashiach, meaning that Mashiach will reveal this to the entire world. So, we don't want to start our day with the word Ani. We don't say Ani Moida. Because we don't, the Ani is a bad word. Ani is the source of all of our problems. When it's all about ourselves, instead of all about the Ribbono Shel Olam. Instead, what we say is, Moida Ani Lefanech. Now the word Moida, which we usually interpret as thanks, or gratitude, has another meaning. Moida can mean I admit. Right? When a person is Moida B'knas, we find the term in Chazal, Moida B'knas, Moida can mean I admit. Moida Ala Emes, right? Somebody who admits the truth. What is a person doing when they admit? They're forfeiting their position. That's what admitting means. Forfeiting one's position to another. Moida Ani Lefanecha means I forfeit my Ani to you. That's what a person says immediately as they wake up in the morning. Ribbono Shel Olam, I know that there's an Ani that's going to get in the way. Moida Ani Lefanecha. I forfeit my Ani to you. Another reason, perhaps, why we say Moida Ani. Instead of Ani Moida. We know that we, Bnei Yisrael, we Jewish people, we have two names. We are called Yehudim, and we're called Yisrael. What do these two names represent? The Sfasama says the reason why we're called Yehudim is because we're a grateful people. We are people that realize that whatever we have, we're not deserving of, and we have out of Hashem's kindness to us, and we therefore thank Hashem for everything we have. Yehuda was called Yehuda because Hapam Oida es Hashem, because now I thank, Leah said, now I thank Hashem. So the word, we are called Yehudim because we are a grateful people. Right? For the Moida Ani, right? I thank you, Hashem. The reason we're called Yisrael, if we look into the Parshas Vayishlach, where Yaakov struggles, Yaakov wrestles with the Sar Shel Esav, he wrestles with the Satan. And he's victorious. So the Sar Shel Esav says to Yaakov, your name is no longer Yaakov, your name is Yisrael, because you have wrestled, you have struggled with angels and with people, and you have overcome them. There's a famous word from the Imre Emes, some say from the Beis Yisrael, one of the Gerer Rebbes asked, why didn't the Malach, why didn't the Satan name Yaakov Tuchal? Right? It says, you Kisarisa, right? You wrestled with the angels, Vatucha, and you were victorious. So he should have named Yaakov after the victory. Why did he name him after the struggle? Sarisa, the word Yisrael comes from the word Sarisa, which means you struggled. So the Gerer Rebbe said, from here we see that being victorious is not that important. The main thing is the struggle. Person's got to put up a fight. If a person just allows their Yetzirah to overcome them, that's negligence. We have to at least put up a fight. Sometimes we win, sometimes we lose. But the main thing is we put up a fight. And that's why we're called Yisrael, because we put up a fight. there are different times in our lives, there are different times in our day. There are times of clarity, times that we're thankful to Hashem for all of His kindness. It's a time that we feel Hashem's kindness. And then there are times of struggle. Bleak times that we don't feel Hashem's kindness. Quite the contrary. Sometimes it feels that we feel that we're on the receiving end of Hashem's stick. And yet, in those times, we struggle. We don't give up. We don't despair. We struggle. We struggle to stay alive. We struggle to maintain our emunah. We say by Mizmar Shiliyah and Hashabbos, we say, "Lahagid ba boiker chazdecha," right? To talk about your kindness in the morning, "Ve'emunascha ba'leilos," and your emunah, your faith at night. And what this means is, if you look in Rashi, this is the simple meaning of the pasuk, that in the morning represents a time of clarity, a time of light. And it's at those times that we talk about your kindness. L'hagid b'avoyka chazdecha. But b'alelois, times of night, times of darkness, then that's when we need emunascha. That's when we need your emunah. So it's during the times of light, during the times of clarity, that we're thanking Hashem. L'hagid b'avoyka chazdecha. We're thanking Hashem for His kindness. That's when we're Yehudim. We're Yehudim in times of kindness. And in times of darkness, balelois, that's when we're Yisrael. Yisrael means those who struggle. Those who struggle and we maintain our emunah despite the darkness. That's when we're Yisrael. And perhaps this is why before we go to sleep at night, which is the time of night, we say Shema Yisrael. And when we wake up in the morning, when it's the time of morning, we say Moida Ani. We say, Moidani doesn't mean I thank you. Moidani, we are identifying ourselves. Ribbono shel Olam, I am a Moida. I am a thanker. That's who I am. Before I went to sleep, I told you I'm a Yisrael. In the morning, I tell you, Moidani, I'm identifying myself. I'm a thanker. Lifonecha, right? We asked, why do we say Moed Ani Lifonecha? Why don't we say Moed Ani Lecha? Why don't we say, I thank you? Why do we say, I thank before you? The Kedushas Levi, the Heilige Baditshever, says that he asks on the when we come to the Bnei Yisrael, come to the Yam Suf, the pasuk says, "Vayaminu b'Hashem v'Moshe Avdoi." They had faith in Hashem and His servant Moshe. Oz Yashir Moshe Bnei Yisrael, and then Moshe Bnei Yisrael sang the Shira. So he asks, number one, why did they need emuna at that point? They had just seen the Yam Suf split. And it says, Zekeli, it says that each child pointed. They were able to see Hashem, whatever that means. Right? Zekeli, they saw with their own eyes. You don't need emunah when you see things with your own eyes. So why does it say, Vayaminu b'Hashem of Moshe Avdai, that they believed in Hashem? Secondly, he asks, Rashi's Kasha, Oz Yashir Moshe, then they will sing. Then Moshe and Bnei Yisrael will sing. No, it should have said Oz Shoru Moshe and Bnei Yisrael. Then Moshe and Bnei Yisrael sang. Why does it say in future tense Oz Yashir Moshe, then they will sing? Says the Kedusha Slavi, contrary to the ordinary understanding of these psukim, he says that Bnei Yisrael, when they were still standing by the Yam Suf, when everything was closing in on them, and they had no idea where their salvation was coming from, it was at that point that they composed the Shira. They knew, they had trust, they had faith that Hashem would save them. They had faith that Hashem would be there for them. So they prepared the Shira in advance. While they still had to believe, Oz Yashir Moshe, they then planned what they will sing when the Yam Suf will split. And the Kedushas Levi says that it was in the merit of Bnei Yisrael being so certain that Hashem will be there for them, that Hashem will save them, to the point that they were able to compose a Shira in advance. It was in that merit that the Yam Suf split. And he advises us, the Kedushas Levi, he advises us that whenever a Yid is in a tzara, that a Yid should start planning the Shira that they will sing when they come out of the tzara. Start planning the Kiddush while the person is still in the tzara. He said it's a sgula that the seas will split. Perhaps we can understand the Chazal. Chazal say that Bikshu Malachi Ashoras Leim Ashira, that when the Yam Suf split, that the angels wanted to sing Shira. So Hashem said to them, Masa Yoda, Shira? My handiwork is drowning in the sea, and you're singing Shira? So the obvious question is, why the Malachim can't sing Shira, but Bnei Yisrael could sing Shira? The answer is yes. Bnei Yisrael prepared the Shira before Masa Yodai were Tevim Bayom. They prepared the Shira before the Hashem's handiwork was drowning in the sea. You angels, you want to start singing Shira now? Only once my handiwork is drowning in the sea? No. We got to start singing in advance. So we wake up in the morning. We know the day is going to be filled with Hashem's chesed. We have no doubt. So we say, Moida ani lefanecha, Hashem, I'm thanking you in advance before you come through for me. Not Moida ani lecha, I'm not thanking you. Moida ani lefanecha, I'm thanking you before you perform for me, because I know you're going to perform nisim for me. So the first thing I say in the morning is, I'm thanking you now for all the nisim you are going to do for me the entire day, because I know you're going to be there for me. Moida ani lefanecha. By Moidim, by Shemayin Esrei, we're thanking Hashem for all the miracles He's done for us, for all the chesed He's done for us already. So we say, Moidim anachnu loch. We say, Hashem, I thank you. We don't say, Moidim anachnu lefanecha. We're not thanking Hashem for the future. We're thanking Hashem for the past. But when we wake up in the morning, we're starting to thank, we thank Hashem for, we're singing our Shira for the future, for all the chesed that Hashem is going to do for us the entire day. Melech. We asked, why don't we start the day by calling Hashem our Father? Why Melech? So I believe just a simple understanding in this dichotomy of, is Hashem our Melech or is Hashem our Father? We have this what seems to be contradiction of relationships that is going on simultaneously. Right, we have the pasuk says "Banim atam Hashem alekeichem," right? Your children to Hashem. Another pasuk says "Ki li bnei Yisrael avodim, bnei Yisrael are my servants." So, are we servants and Hashem is our king, or are we children and Hashem is our father? And the answer to both of them is true. So where do we use what? There are many different answers, very deep answers, but on a simple level, I believe that the relationship of Melech is a relationship that we are supposed to be focusing on. And the relationship of father and children is the relationship that Hashem focuses on. Meaning, our mission in life is to make Hashem our king. To make Hashem our king, to make it evident in the world that Hashem is the king of the world. That's our mission in life. To be mekabel upon ourselves, oil malchus shemayim. If a person's attitude is, oh, Hashem is my father, right? In my father's house, I can do whatever I want. Right? That is not the type of attitude a Yid is supposed to live by. The attitude we need to have is Hashem is our melech. We need to conduct ourselves as such. In turn, Hashem treats us like children. That's Hashem's business. So there's a relationship here of ani ledoidi vedoidi li. I look out for the Ribbono Shel Olam, and the Ribbono Shel Olam looks out for me. I look out for Hashem, and therefore I treat the Ribbono Shel Olam as a king, conducting myself as a subject of the kingdom, making others aware of the kingdom of Hashem in the world, and in turn Hashem treats us with the chesed, with the kindness, and with the love that only a parent can treat a child. So that awareness is very important to take place immediately in the morning. So Moida ani lefanecha, melech, Hashem, you are our king. That is how I'm going to live my day. That is how I'm going to conduct myself, realizing that you are king and making it apparent to the rest of the world as well. Chai v'kayam. Why are we using the words chai v'kayam? Living, the living and eternal. So we can say very simply that when a person sleeps, the person is chai, the person is alive, but he's not kayam. The person is not kayam. Kayam means the person is up and running.
Functioning.
Right? The person is up and up functioning. So we say when we wake up, Ribbono Shel Olam, you're not like the human being. Because Hinei lo yonav lo yishan, Hashem Yisrael, Hashem never sleeps. You're chai v'kayim. You're always alive and functioning. But I'll tell you another pshat that I thought of. I think it can be very true, actually. But we're going to have to jump to Rabbi Munasecha. The time is running out. Rabbi Munasecha. Now, and we'll come back to understand the new understanding of why we say chai v'kayim. Rabbi Munasecha, literally the way it's understood in all the Sfarim is Rabbi Munasecha, abundant is your faithfulness. And this means that we give over our neshamas to Hashem every night, and He is faithful and He returns it every morning. We thank Hashem for being so faithful. We can trust Him, we can entrust our neshamas with Him, and He never disappoints us, and He gives it back in the morning. I have to confess, I never understood that was a pshat. I always interpreted the words of Rava Amunasecha that abundant is your faithfulness in us. That Hashem gives back our neshama every day, giving us another chance. I always, until I had to prepare this shir, I always thought that was pshat in Rava Amunasecha. Rabbi Munasecha means, Hashem, you have so much faith in us. You have so much faith in me. That you give me, but you saw that I botched up every single day. And yet, you have faith in me, and you're giving me your neshama again. That pshat has got to be somewhere. Huh?
That's the way I've always understood it.
You always understood it? You've seen it somewhere?
Yeah.
Oh, Baruch Hashem. I looked all over. I could not find it. But
the way I thought in English was something that God doesn't give
Right. God doesn't give up on us. But it's Rabba Menosacha. And it has to be a valid shot. And it's true. We see Hashem gives us an neshama every day. And he has faith in us. Now, let's try to imagine for a moment. There's a certain person comes to us and says, I'm about to embark on a business deal. Would you... On a business deal. Please, would you invest some money with me? How much do you need? $100,000. All right. Invest $100,000. The guy looks like a trustworthy guy. You give him $100,000. And a couple months down the road, he tells me, sorry, the deal went south. Your money's gone. A couple days later, he approaches me again. I want to embark on another business deal. Would you like to invest $100,000 with me? I know this guy is really a good guy. Something must have gone wrong last time. So I invest another $100,000 with him. Right? Some people might look at me and say, well, you're out of your mind. Right? But listen, I have some faith in the guy. I know he's a good guy. A couple months later, he comes back to me and says, sorry, deal went south. A few days later, he comes over to me again and says, you know, I have another deal. Could you invest $100,000 with me? Now, if I do invest $100,000 with him, I'm no more than a fool, right? You got to be crazy. Now, let's say that person would be my son. It's a different story, right? I don't want to give up. I don't want my son to realize I don't trust him. I want to give my son another chance. So I'll give him a third time again, right? I'll invest the money a third time. But that's also gonna, if it happens a third time or a fourth time, even a father will tell the son, listen, you're squandering the money, you don't know how to handle money, and goodbye, I'm not investing any money with you again. However, that's only because our funds are finite. If a person would have infinite funds, right, then there would be nothing wrong with investing with the son, trying to give the son yet another chance, and yet another chance, and yet another chance, because I've got nothing to lose. I have infinite funds. Now, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam invests a day with us. Every morning, he invests another day in our hands. And at night, we say, sorry, Rabbi Einstein was squandered the day. And yet, the next day, Hashem gives it to us again. Invests another day with us. And we botch it up. And the next day we come back again. Right? So, we don't want to say that Rabbi Einstein was a fool, right? He's a father. He's a father investing another day with his child to tell us, Rabba Munasecha, to tell us how much he trusts us. But even a father, right? How much can a father squander on a son? The answer is Chai V'Kayam. The answer is Rabbi Shlomo has endless days. He is living and eternal. He has endless days. He's infinite. He has nothing to lose. So every morning, when we want to bring out the Rabba Munasecha, we want to bring out how much faith the Rabbeinu Shalom has in us. We have to precede that in order so that the Rabbeinu Shalom shouldn't look, Chas V'Shalom, like a fool, that he keeps on investing even though we keep on squandering. We have to precede those with the words, Chai V'Kayam. You are alive and eternal. You have infinite days. And you choose to invest those days with us because you trust us. Rabba Munasecha, we thank you, Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Your faithfulness in us is tremendous. Shkayach for listening.